Hello, everybody. This is Stu Smith with another Tactical Fitness Report. And what we are going to talk today is about the fundamentals of tactical fitness and where a lot of people don't understand and mess up the process of preparing for jobs in the tactical professions. That is military, law enforcement, firefighter, and especially special ops. Because there is a higher level of fitness that is required for a wide variety of professions in the tactical world that is not really done within the process of building up to that. You have to find it yourself. And for many people, just finding the basics themselves is part of the process, whether that is losing weight, passing a fitness test so you can be accepted into any profession within the tactical world. And where a lot of people screw this up are the three phases of tactical fitness. And where the three phases are, I call them two, through, and operator. So phase one is getting into the profession. That means getting accepted. If it is a very competitive process, like let's say the FBI, for instance, where they may only hire a couple thousand a year, but 50 to 60,000 apply, everything matters in that process. And there's a standard. And if you don't meet that standard, you're done, right? You're just another number that they don't have to deal with. And unfortunately, that's a lot of the problem about people wanting to serve, whether that is in the military, law enforcement, or firefighters as well. So my recommendation is learn these three phases of tactical fitness. And they are, first, learn how to get to the training. And that means specific to what fitness test and standards you have to meet, whether that is height, weight standards, academic standards, testing standards, fitness test standards, all of those are part of the process. And unfortunately, you're really kind of on your own to do that. Now, a lot of you who are just trying to go regular military or be a police officer or firefighter, and if you were an athlete in a previous life, probably can make that transition relatively easy. The police academy and the fire academy, you know, are challenging, but with some athletic history, some specific training, it may not take you that long to really prepare. However, depending on your athletic abilities, becoming a tactical athlete means you have to start getting good at everything. And we all have weaknesses when we come into this journey. So I was an athlete for almost 10 years before I became a spec ops candidate. And those 10 years really created some strengths for me, but they also created some weaknesses because these were things I was neglecting. So for instance, when I wanted to finally made the decision to join Navy SEALs, I was probably 19 years old, and I knew I had a couple of years to prepare because I was in college, and I had to really get good at this fitness test because that was really the first step into becoming a candidate that's competitive. So coming from a powerlifting football background, you know, I was pretty good at push-ups and pull-ups, not so much sit-ups. Could run a mile and a half, but not that fast. And swimming was okay. You know, I played a lot of Marco Polo when I was a kid. Had a swimming pool in my backyard, but it was, yeah, I wasn't a competitive swimmer by any means. So I was comfortable in the water. It just wasn't good. So I had to get in swimming shape, had to get in better running shape, had to get in better calisthenic shape. So I focused on that fitness test for quite some time before I got to be really good. And a lot of that is technique, specifically to a test, being able to pace yourself at a certain distance at a certain time that still allows you to be competitive. Like, for instance, a 6-minute mile or a 9 minute mile and a half or a yard per second in a swim so you can get in the 8 minute zone. You know, all of those things matter when you are preparing for any tactical fitness job. And this is just phase one of tactical fitness. And where a lot of people screw up, especially in the spec ops world, is they just train for this, right? They get really good at getting to the training. They don't really have time to focus on getting through the training because maybe they went to a recruiter at 18 years old and now they're just taking fitness tests just to see if they can get a contract. And eventually they get a contract and they ship out in another month or two. And they really don't have enough time to focus on getting through the training. And that's phase two, right? And where a lot of people screw up, and especially special ops world, is they do really well at phase one and they get to the training, but they spent no time getting through the training or focusing on the specific events that will allow you to get through the training. So for instance, Navy SEAL training requires 4 mile timed runs and 2 mile swims with fins and obstacle courses and being strong enough and durable enough to handle logs and boats on your head and rucks and soft sand and, you know, just a fireman carry of somebody equal weight over a sand dune. You know, all of those things are very challenging events. And if you've never done them before, or never, or at least prepared yourself to have that level of durability and work capacity and endurance, that is where a lot of the attrition occurs. Plus, you're cold, you're wet, you're sandy, you're uncomfortable, you're getting yelled at all the time by SEAL instructors. It's just a perfect storm for failure. You know, if you start underperforming, you're going to get noticed. And here's the thing. You know, if you leave any weaknesses on the table, they will be exposed immediately. And you get to the training by passing a fitness test, and you have to get through the training by specifically focusing on the challenges in front of you. If you go into Army and there's a lot of rucking in your programming, guess what? You should be lifting, running, and rucking, because that's going to make you more durable. It's going to give you some endurance on top of that durability and strength, and then you can handle the load-bearing activities. That is Army training. If you're going to be swimming or swimming with fins or scuba diving, you need to practice everything in the water. Treading, technique, conditioning, swimming with fins, swimming without fins, treading with weight, treading with no weight, treading with no hands. You know, all of those things are very important. And those are just a few of the specific examples that if you're not specifically addressing what's in front of you before you get there, you're going to be probably part of that attrition rate, or you're going to have to suck up so much and really tough it out that every day is going to be a gut check for you versus being able to, you know, exceed the standard, crush the standard, win some things. Because I will tell you this, it pays to be a winner. And if you're flirting with losing every day or flirting with failing something, every event that is your weakness, that becomes a big hurdle to have to get over. Because you will see those things every week. And typical challenges for most people, believe it or not, is a 4 mile timed run and a 2 mile swim of fins and an obstacle course. Put those three together in a week of training. You'll do these for 26 weeks at SEAL training specifically. You know, a bad day can mean you fail. You fail, you get boarded. You haven't been doing well in other things, you're done. You don't meet the standard. So that is where phase one and phase two really matter. And unfortunately, most people neglect phase two. And there's nothing in the military that really prepares you for phase one and phase two, except there are some, like in the Army, there is a tends to be a logical progression. Marine Corps 2, really hard. Marine Corps boot camp, harder pretty hard Army boot camp, goes into infantry school, goes into airborne. You know, that can go into prepping for Ranger school and getting through Ranger school, and then going Army Special Forces, or hitting the selections for that. There's all these different levels that kind of build you up for that. Same for Marine Corps, Marine Infantry. Do your time in that, keep training hard, working hard, go recon, you can go MARSOC. It's a nice little stepping stone. There's a logical progression to those. However, for the Navy and the Air Force, there's not so much that progression, because there's nothing in the Navy, there's nothing really in the Air Force that prepares you for special warfare. So that's why they have a boot camp, and they have a fitness test before that boot camp that you have to pass. So yes, you get to have a contract to go to SEAL training or to Air Force Special Warfare Prep. You go to the boot camps, basic training. Then you get into the prep schools, where you'll be tested. If you don't pass the fitness test, you're done. You fail. So a lot of people's spec ops dreams are ended before it even begins, right there with that first PST. And the main reason why is they spent most of their time preparing for the PST, just barely hit those minimum standards, not really competitive scores, but they met the standard to go and get that contract. They go through a boot camp or basic training that's sort of a deconditioning phase for them. They get out of shape, then they have to take this test at prep, and they don't meet the standards because they didn't stay in shape during their military boot camps, right? I promise you, they will be a form of deconditioning if you're trying to go special ops. If you're fairly a beginner and you're just trying to go regular Navy or Air Force, or even Army too, that will be a progression. You'll probably get in better shape at the end of that. But for a lot of the spec ops guys, they will get deconditioned in that training program because they're not running enough, they're not swimming enough, they're not doing enough repetitions, they're not lifting, and they get a little weaker. You have to expect that. I tell people, just go in hard and treat it like a 10-week taper, because that's what it is. You're basically deconditioning. Don't get sick. Work out when you can. Do some extra pull-ups and push-ups and flutter kicks and lunges and squats spread throughout the day, or before you wake up and get started in the morning. Wake up earlier and get some reps in. So it's that tough. That's what you have to deal with. A lot of people just are lazy when they go through boot camp and don't have energy to go do some extra reps, and then they fail before they even start training. Or if they do get past the PST, they never really focused on getting through the training. So a 4-mile timed run, or the first time ever putting on a big pair of rocket fins, is actually at BUDS. That's a steep learning curve. You should be swimming with rocket fins every leg day if you want to go to BUDS, period. Twice a week, at least. If you're going Army, you should be rucking on leg day twice a week, at least. So that is where people screw up with phase one and phase two of tactical fitness. Now, phase three, completely different animal altogether. Phase three is the operator. You are now done with your selection, with your boot camp, your police academy. Now you're an operator. You got to maintain your levels of fitness, because I promise you, one day, your life is going to depend on your level of fitness and your buddy's level of fitness, the guys next to you, levels of fitness. So you all want to be in really good shape. You want to be strong, have some power, have some speed, have some agility, have some endurance, have some muscle stamina, have some mobility and flexibility, help yourself recover, work off some of those stresses that every day the military provides, or law enforcement and firefighters. You have to have a logical way of dealing with stress, learning mitigation techniques from breathing deep to stretching, foam rolling, yoga, whatever. Nice, easy, non-impact cardio. I prefer mobility days where you just do some easy cardio followed by some stretching, foam rolling, focus on some deep breathing. Really works to break up some of that stress, soreness, inflammation, things like that. So for the operator, you know, you can go back to being the student again and go back to phase one. For instance, there'll be, let's say you're a SEAL or special forces guy, right? You've been operating for a while, getting really good, and you want to take it to the next level and go Delta or CAG, they call it now, or SEAL Team 6, Dev Group. You know, it's another screening process. So you got to focus on the fitness test that you have to master and be really competitive in, as well as your tactical skills. So there's it's a wider range of being a student. And then you go through Green Team, and it's very physical, but it's more tactical, right? How good of an operator are you, right? That's going to require you to master your craft. So it's a little bit different, but you are the student that still has to go through a phase one and phase two in order to be that next level operator. So that is how the phases of tactical fitness work. And it doesn't matter what program you're on. If you're not focusing specifically on a fitness test at first, you're wrong, right? You're probably going to fail that fitness test or not be as good as you could be or as you should be, especially if it's competitive. And then phase two is going to be, what is your academy, boot camp, military training, selection look like? How hard is it? You should be training specifically for that. And then whenever it's your job, you should be maintaining those skills that are required for your job. And a lot of times they look completely different from the first two phases. I've seen a lot of people screw up, like especially teenagers who go do an operator workout because they see these big dudes on YouTube doing a workout at their SEAL team or their pararescue unit, and they go do it over here thinking they're getting ready for buds or for selection, where they're really not. You know, they're just doing a workout that these guys are doing to maintain their operator status, maybe doing the operator fitness test or you know, some of the other advanced fitness tests that are post selection. So a lot of people just get out of phase, you know, whenever they are trying to prepare for these jobs, or they just get stuck in one and never advance to phase two or phase three because they've just passing a fitness test is not going to cut it. All right. You have to get into the specifics of whatever that challenge is in front of you. So a lot of ways to do that. Like I said, it doesn't have to be my programming. I tell people all the time, I have a way to train, not the only way to train. I have a system, however, that is focused on tactical fitness, and it's called seasonal tactical fitness periodization. I'll put a link into the description of this video on that. There's a great article on it that explains it thoroughly, but also have a lot of programming that is arranged in the seasons of the year. So for instance, like I just mentioned, this is my fall training system, right? And all it is a transition from the summer where we did solely hardcore calisthenics and cardio, a lot of mileage, running and swimming, a lot of repetitions. And now we're kind of downshifting a little bit in the mileage, increasing the speed, adding some weight to the calisthenics so there's fewer repetitions. And we're transitioning from that into the winter lift cycle where it's heavier lifts, less running, faster running, rucking, and swimming primarily with fins. But if we do swim without fins, it's usually pretty short and focused on maybe time swims for fitness tests, right? You might be in and out after 500 yards in a warm-up, practice some treading and some pool skills, you're done. More of a cool down activity and confidence building type of swimming in the winter. And then we come back around in the spring and we start building it back up again. So we're starting to ramp up the miles, ramp up the reps, downshift a little bit from the weight training. We still do a little bit of weight training in the spring. And then by the summer, we're peaking. We're trying to hit our peaks and our runs at mileage and our high rep calisthenics volume and swimming volume. It is a it is a cycle focused on muscle, stamina, and endurance, where the other cycles are focused more on strength, power, speed, and agility. So in a year's time, you can have a system that works everybody's strengths and weaknesses. You're going to have a cycle where you really love it because that's what you do. You do really well at running and swimming. So you may like the summer stuff, but you never lifted weights before. So you progress into weightlifting by going through the fall 50-50 style training program where half your exercises are calisthenics, other half are weights. And then you build up into lifting heavier weights, putting on some mass, getting a little stronger, able to handle some of the load bearing and some of those challenges that are, that is basically tactical training, right? Load bearing, running, rucking, swimming with fins makes swimming harder. Definitely need bigger legs, more flexible ankles. Mobility is a very big key, especially if you're pretty stiff and you can't tread. Mobility is a big issue with treading. So we do a lot of mobility work too, just so you can, one, work off some soreness, but also get in a better position to do full range of motion movements. All right, whether that's lifting in full range of motion, calisthenics in full range of motion, but we're also stretching and foam rolling and doing some movements, utilizing that full range of motion and trying to broaden some of those ranges of motion and joints, especially when you're trying to learn how to do a scissor kick or a egg beater kick, for instance. A lot of people are limited in their power production because they lack the mobility to do that. So all of that is important. So that's what tactical fitness is. Tactical fitness is really getting good at everything and not having a weakness in anything. We all have natural weaknesses depending on our athletic history. For instance, I would consider running as still my weakness. It's always been my weakness, even though I've been able to hit sub 6 miles in runs before. And you just turn it into less of a weakness and you maintain your strengths from your old athletic history. So there you go. So if you're looking for ideas on training, check out stewsmithfitness.com. And what you will find there, you'll find programs that are focused on the seasons. You know, that if you read into that, that's basically saying I'm ready to crush the PST with this program. Because that's the focus. But you'll also find specific programs for the PST, the FBI fitness test, the Marine Corps fitness test, combat fitness test of the Army, selection prep for any special ops program. Army, Air Force, Marine, Navy SEAL, SWIC, rescue swimmers. We have it all over there. And there are specific programs to get you to and through the training, right? You don't have to do any guesswork. If you want to add some stuff because you're in better shape than the program, that's fine. I can help you with that too. All you got to do is email me. Happy to help you. So check out stewsmithfitness.com. There's a ton of articles there too. If you ever have questions about tactical fitness, seriously, try this. Go to Google, type in the question, put my name in it, and I probably have written an article about it. I literally have over 1,000 articles on the internet of basically people asking questions and me answering them. So it's probably harder to find a question I haven't answered. And if I haven't, I will answer it in full and probably make an article about it because you guys give me ideas to make articles and I appreciate it. So I do have a few live shows if you're interested on Mondays and Tuesdays, 9 a.m. Eastern time. You can find me on my YouTube channel and Facebook pages where I will broadcast live and we'll do swimming critiques live where someone submits a video and I tell them what they're doing right or wrong. We'll take questions and answers right after that. Do another show where I focus on what I am doing with my guys during the week, the type of splits that we're doing each week, kind of go through each day, and then take questions and answers. So we do those 2 days a week. And then I try to get some guests on with this Tactical Fitness Report podcast. You can find all of my podcasts either on YouTube or where you find podcasts. We just uploaded all of our podcasts up to Audible now. And you'll see a lot of good guests on there. Jeff Nichols is always on there. We have a couple PhDs in nutrition that come on. And we talk about nutrition and weight loss and weight gain and performance and longevity. All the things that people need to hear about when they are considering training. Because tactical fitness is a specialized type of fitness training. And it's not just powerlifting. It's not just endurance running. It's not just swimming. It's not just doing bodyweight exercises. It's truly a mix of all. And if you're not really good at all of them, you are taking your career path with potentially a lot of obstacles in front of you and certain strengths and weaknesses that you're going to have to deal with every day. So, but that's what I do. I work out and write about it and make these videos. And somebody asked me, what do I do in a sentence? And I said, I build superheroes. And I really do. You know, people that I train are going on to doing incredible things with serving their country, serving their communities. Can't tell you how many people have saved lives, countless of lives, and been there to be an asset in situations, whether it was natural or man-made, that required a strong level of fitness, and they were able to do it and get out of it alive and save somebody while they're doing it. So that is what tactical fitness is all about. And I'm honored to be a part of that community. Been doing this for over 20 years, and I wouldn't change a thing. So with that, folks, I will chat with you later. Go check out stewsmithfitness.com. Check out my live Q&As on Monday and Tuesdays. And I'm here. If you need me, email me stew@stewsmith.com. Ready to help.